This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, and who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bidding God speed, for he that biddeth him God speed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and to speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect, sister, greet thee. Amen. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We thank you for the good singing that we've enjoyed this morning. We pray you'd bless the word to every heart, save the lost, lift up the downhearted. Thank you, Lord, for saving Dylan. Lord, we're looking forward now to being able to disturb those baptismal waters tonight. We pray that now you'd help him to be strong in the Lord and the power of thy mind. There may be others that say, preacher, I need the Lord. May they come forward. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on a subject matter entitled, Truth is Everlasting. Do you know that whatever you learned in truth, whenever it was, that it's always back all the way to the beginning? The truth never changes. The truth will always be the truth, and it don't matter if it's today, tomorrow, 1,000 years from now, or the thousands of years that it's already come. Truth is always the truth. Why do you think Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free? When God sets you free, you'll be free indeed. When you get born into the family of God, make no mistake about it, it's because of a person. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth and the life. And no man can come to the Father except by me. I'm glad to know that he is exactly all that we need, and I'm glad to know that we've been set free by the blood of the Lamb, washed by the blood, born into the family of God. Now, let me say to you that if you're a child of God, when God's word is being preached, you believe it. You believed it in order to get saved. You have to believe it in order to show the fact that you are born into the family of God. You know, a lot of time people are busy with their opinion. And, you know, they're like armpits. They're a dime a dozen. Everybody's got a couple of them. I got to tell you right up front is that the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what he says in the book of John chapter 8, when he's arguing with a bunch that did not believe him, and they called him a bunch of names. And as a result of that, you'll find that he tells them and lets them know that they're not of God. Look in chapter number 8 of the book of St. John and verse number 47. Now, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's gotten into a pretty heated discussion with religious but lost people. And both they've called him some names and so forth, called him a liar. And he said, no, I'm not a liar. If I was a liar, I'd be like unto you, so forth and on. But look in verse number 46. Let's take up reading there. 46 and 7. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, then why do you not believe me? All right, he's fixing to give them the answer. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Anytime you can take clear-cut scripture and show somebody, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. You're not of God. If you were of God, you would receive the words of God and believe the words of God. Very simplified. Now, I want to tell you, I'm responsible to tell you the truth of God. You're responsible to tell the truth of God. I'm not responsible to see that you believe it. I want you to believe it. I pray that you'll believe it. I'm going to, listen, old Brother Marty, years ago, he was preaching somewhere, and I never will forget, and he said something like this right here. I'm going to preach the word of the Lord, and I may not make you believe it, but I'm going to make you believe I believe it before I'm done. You see, that's all that's important. You can't make anybody else believe it, but you with your lip and your life can show them that you believe it, and that God has saved your soul. I want to say that in this lesson that we're looking at, number one is that we're talking about in this chapter here, well, actually, it's the whole book, because it's only, what, 13 verses long, and that makes up the book of 2 John. And let me tell you something about it, is that when you're looking at it, we're talking about the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if you don't know the Lord this morning, it don't matter whatever else you may or may not ever learn. If you die without the Lord, what advantage has it for you to learn anything else other than that? You'd better come to the Lord as an empty-handed beggar. You'd better be washed by the blood. You'd better call upon His name. Let me tell you, the Lord is busy building the body of Christ, and that's the church of the living God. Now, I look at that and said, the elder to the elect lady. And all the commentaries and the commentators and all that business there, and preachers, you know, well, you know, some believe that it might be this, and some believe that it might be that. Some believe that it was a lady particularly that, hey, just junk all that. He's talking about a lady that's above all other ladies. He's talking about somebody, that buddy that's going to be his bride one day. He's talking about the church of the living God. That's who this elect lady is. Somebody was thinking about, you know, when you begin to look into that passage there, is that the Lord, He called us into the family of God. It's the Lord that converts us. It's the Lord that adds us to the church. It's the Lord, that the bride who is a virgin, we have children added into the work of God, into the house of God, because of the election of God. You know, the word election there is mentioned about 20 times. We'll not take time to deal with that. But let me tell you right now is, you're going to find when the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Somebody said one time, preacher, I said, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Oh, yeah. Yeah, where do you go to church? Well, now I don't believe in organized religion. You're not saved then. Jesus organized the church. I don't believe in man-made organized religion either. But Jesus, buddy, this is not an organization. This is absolutely a live being. This is an organism, if you will, please. This, buddy, is the church of the living God. And make no mistake about it, when you get saved, God will put you in the house of God somewhere. I'd hate it to know that whenever you ever notice there's people all the time, they find kids laying abandoned in the garbage dump or on the sidewalk, sometimes, you know, left on somebody's doorstep. Wouldn't that be awful if God saved our soul and then didn't put us in the church of the living God? The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I got to say that when you begin to look into it, you're going to find the tie that binds you and I together. You know what it is? It's the truth. Did you notice the many times that he mentioned the truth? I guarantee you, when you know the truth, it'll make you free. When you know the truth, buddy, God will do something real in your heart. Whenever you know the truth, you've received Him in the free pardon of sin, He'll put you in the house of the living God. So the Lord, buddy, is busy doing all of this, building His bride. Number two is, I want to talk about the lady for a minute. You know, this Bible calls her the elect lady. And let me tell you right now is, you're going to find out, is that she, you know how you can tell she's elect? The same way you can tell you and I are. She's walking in the truth. But is she not just walking anywhere she wants to? She's walking with the Lord. She's walking in the truth. You know, over in 2 Peter chapter number 1, about verse number 10, he said, wherefore the brethren give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. You know how you can tell you part of the elect lady? I can tell you how. Look at where you're walking. Listen to how you're talking. If you're a child of God, buddy, you've been born into the family of God, it'll show up in your walk. See that? I'm not talking about, I go to church a little on Sunday. I'm not talking about that. You know, there's a lot of people go to church a little bit on Sunday, boot scooting on Saturday night, and going to a little bit of church on Sunday. I got to tell you, whenever God saved your soul, He put you in the house of God, forgave you of your sin, put His word in your heart, and made you careful about where you're going, who you're hanging with, and what you're doing. Over there in the book of 1 Thessalonians, don't turn there, but in chapter number 1 and verse 4, he said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I can tell you the reason why that nobody's able to talk us out of it. I'm sure this morning here that the spirit's willing and the flesh is weak. I realize to know that. I realize that, oh, that you're busy, busy, busy about life. Just wears you out trying to make a living. I got to tell you something, is that when you look into the Bible, you recognize and you realize that when you're a child of God, God's made a difference in your life. And He puts you walking in fellowship with Him, walking in the truth. I'm glad to be part of the family of God. There's a passage over there. I'll let you turn to it in Romans in chapter number 11. In the book of Romans in chapter 11, in about verse number 5. In the passage there, here's what he said. He's talking about a man by the name of Elijah. You remember that story, don't you? How that God sent him to cut the waterworks of heaven off. Told Ahab, the king's not going to reign anymore except by my word, thus saith the Lord. And boy, whenever people begin to dry up and die and things of that nature, as that they begin to realize that, oh, hey, that old man of God wasn't just talking and buzzing his lips. I mean, we're facing the wrath of God. In this lesson that we're looking at in Romans in chapter number 5, you'll find that Elijah, like you and I, we got to the place where that he wanted to sit down. He got to the place where he just absolutely thought, you know what? There's not anybody left on the face of this earth that believes God besides myself, and they're trying to take my life. And then God spoke to him and said, I've got better than 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. You may seem like you're the only one. But you know, you can read over there in 1 Kings chapter number 19 about verse number 10, about verse 13, about verse number 18. And let me tell you something. One of those passages says that I've not bowed to Baal. But in fact, I want you to turn there. I want you to look in 1 Kings in chapter number 19. And I can't remember if it's in verse 10 or verse number 14, but in chapter 19 of the book of 1 Kings, and this is where he's quoting it from. But I want you to watch it. I want you to see it over there in this lesson that we're looking at. And notice, if you will, please, verse 18. 1 Kings 19, now verse 18. Now look at it. He mentions it up there in about verse number 10. And then he mentions it in verse 14, but look in verse 18. God's answer, and here's what he says to him. Yet, he said, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. I want to tell you something. I know a lot of preachers that may not have bowed, but buddy, I'm not sure about how times they puckered up and kissed this godless idol that's in the world that we're living in. I don't want to get too embraced with it. And the reason being is I don't want to get that intimate. I don't want to become that affectionate. I want to realize and know and let people know I'm not bowing to Baal, and I'm not going to kiss the image of him either. Look, if you will, please, back in Romans that we've read. And I want to tell you something. He quotes in part, and he gives that passage of Scripture that you and I just looked at. I want to tell you something right now is that I'm not near the man that Elijah would have been, or Elisha either. And let me say to you that in chapter of the book of Romans 11, and in verse number 5, whenever he says that, even so then that at the present time there's a remnant according to the election of grace. You know the reason why that Elijah was able to do what he did? The grace of God was upon him. You know the reason you and I are able to walk with him in spirit and truth? The grace of God is upon us. You know the reason why the church keeps marching on? I'll tell you why. It's because she's the elect lady by the grace of God, not deserving, but thankful for the mercy and the grace that's been bestowed upon us. You know, in this elect lady back in our text that we're looking at, is that it talks about her calling. I'm glad to know God came knocking on my heart's door one day and gave me repentance and faith that I might believe him. It's not only talking about her calling, it's talking about her children, people that got saved. God adds to the church daily, such as should be saved. The reason why that we keep going about the Father's business is because of the fact is that the grace of God is upon us. I got to tell you something. The very proof of this elect lady, of who she is and who she belongs to, is by her walk. God's looking at where she's walking. You know where it is? In the truth. In the truth. I want to say number three is, not only does he mention the Lord and mention this lady, but he mentions a liar in this whole book here, verse 7. many deceivers who confess, look at it, who confess not that Jesus is the Christ. Look at this here. You know how you can tell about a religion? You can look at what they're not preaching. You can look at what they don't believe. You can look and, well, you know, I believe in going to church, but, yeah, I got you. That's what you are, is you're a Billy Goat Baptist, butting everything, see? Well, you know, I believe in God, but, yeah, that's what he said. You got to watch him, people. This Bible said that when you look into it, is that there are many deceivers, there's many liars that are in the world. And you know what? How you can tell it? They confess not that Jesus is the Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, whenever you look into that Bible lesson about that, you can just walk in a church, tell what they're not preaching. In the day we live in, you just walk in an empty building and look around a little bit. Most of the time, you can see at a glance what they're not preaching on. See, I'm going to tell you right now, is that'd be hard for you and be hard for me. What if somebody came up, like some of these churches you'll drive up, they're Baptists, and you drive up to where their church is, and they'll have a little old idol out there that some converted Catholic wanted to donate. Yeah, well, you don't understand, preacher. They put in $500,000 into the church. I see. $500,000 all it takes to sell out. See what I'm talking about? I know what you were thinking. Oh, send her to my house. She can put one in my yard. That's our first inclination, isn't it? I got to tell you right now, this elect lady wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it. In fact, this elect lady's warning us by the hand of God. There are many deceivers that are in the world. You get caught up in that. And the Bible said that what it is that this is the spirit of the Antichrist. You remember over there, we've preached over and over again, another Jesus, which is really not another, but there'd be some trouble you and have you to believe it. Another spirit that's being received. And there's another gospel that they're preaching across this country. Now, I won't tell you what you can tell about this religious world we live in. They've got no certain Bible. They've got no dress code. They've got no doctrine specifically. They've got no discernment about what's right and what's wrong. That brings me to the last point of this sermon here this morning, and that is the loss that mentions in this chapter. Well, look in verse 8. Look to yourselves. Do you realize that though there's going to be some rewards, there's at least 5 crowns you could win, and you better look to yourself lest you lose it. Excuse me. But look to yourselves, he said in verse number 8. Now here's the reason being, that you might be able to gain a full reward. Now salvation's free. You can lose your testimony, but you won't lose that. You won't lose salvation. You may lose your testimony, and you may lose your place. You may get to the spot in life to where that you're not walking in fellowship with God, but you'll not lose your salvation if you've been washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Now, this Bible said that when you look into it, in verse number 10, that whosoever bringeth not this doctrine, that's how you check it, they bring something besides this doctrine. You know, every now and again, while you turn to Galatians, or at least tune your ear into it, but in the book of Galatians in chapter number 2, there's a passage we're going to look at there, and then we're going to look in Revelation chapter number 3. But in Galatians, there's a passage that we ought to look at. And in chapter number 2 and in verse number 4, every now and again, somebody's going to want to have, and well, you know, give me an equal time and to be able to speak and I present my side of it. We're not doing that. And here's why. In Galatians chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse number 4, and that because false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now notice this, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. Why? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now let me just tell you right now, back in your text, while you turn to the book of Revelation chapter number 3, back in our text when we're looking at that, the Bible says that you and I are refuse fellowship with those that are contrary unto the doctrine of Christ. If any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. He's talking about the house of God. He's talking about your house, my house, the house of God. And we're not going to put somebody up there and that's going to be preaching heresy. Not knowingly, that is. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, that means we're to refuse fellowship with liberals, with a false doctrine, with unsaved Jews, with Unitarians, with Jehovah's Witnesses, with Mormons, with Catholicism, with Hindus, Buddhists, and on, and et cetera. We can witness, and that's one thing, but to have fellowship and dialogue with somebody will cause you to lose your reward. In this lesson that we're looking at, make no mistake about it, in Revelation chapter number 3, here's what he says to them, the church at Philadelphia, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Not your salvation, but the reward. Don't lose a reward. Don't lose a full reward by getting sidetracked with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the doctrines of the Antichrist. In the day we live in, friend, you talk about there's confused as a termite in a yo-yo in this day and hour of which that we live. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I know better. When you're sitting and you're listening, whether it be the news or whether it be something else, you know, isn't it amazing? I love Gunsmoke. I like the black and white ones better because they were better, and I like 30 minutes because it's too long to me to watch an hour at a time. I mean, you know, in one sitting. I learned a long time ago the most respectable and the best example that we've got on Gunsmoke is a whore, a barkeep woman, and a marshal that's drink more beer and whiskey from it. I mean, there, you ever notice how they're the example? Every time a preacher shows up, he's a nut. I will say to you that if you will, please, the Bible said you better be careful and you'd better look to yourselves that you lose not a full reward that God has got for you. All right? Now, I don't mind. I don't mind if you want to watch a little bit of Gunsmoke. That's fine. Just don't follow their religious practice. You getting the picture? See that? I want to say in closing, as we think about that, I want to ask you this morning to answer this question in your own heart and in your own soul. Have you come to Jesus as an empty-handed beggar? Do you know the truth and the truth has made you free? Then if not, this would be a good time for you to step out and come forward, kneel at an old-fashioned altar and get things your business altered with God. Let's stand to our feet. Our musicians are coming. Our song director's coming. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. We've already got a young man that's gotten saved and he's going to want to present himself and come forward. And we're looking forward to that.